The whole real estate bubble had a big influence on my thought process. I didn't want to be another number where I over leveraged on my properties. Then flipping for me was means to an end. I wanted to flip houses so I had cash to put into rental properties.
Do you love your job, but want other investment options than your company's 401k and trying to pick stocks? If so, you've come to the right place. In this podcast, you will get actionable information for your passive real estate investment journey. Welcome back to another episode of Work Hard, Invest Harder podcast. Here's your host, Justin Dixon.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Work Hard, Invest Harder podcast. I am your host, Justin Dixon. And today we've got Sharad Mehta on the pod. He is a founder and CEO of ReSimply. It is an all-in-one software platform for real estate investors. But he didn't start his career in real estate with ReSimply. He started back in 2010, buying properties, small multis, 2 to 4 units in Northwest Indiana. So we talk about his kind of journey in kind of his initial real estate investing space, owning about 50 rental properties, 95 of which are fully paid off. So we talk about that. He's got a flipping business that they do 2 to 3 flips a month. And then he's also got a property management business. So he's a very busy guy. So I'm really happy to have him on the podcast. So let's get Sharad on the pod. All right, Sharad, welcome to the podcast. Happy to have you on, man.
Hey, Justin. Super excited to be on the show, man. Yeah, looking forward to our conversation.
Awesome. Well, let's get started and maybe just give a quick introduction of who you are, what you're up to, where you are, and then we'll kind of unpack some stuff because we were talking off air and you've got a lot going on, sounds like.
Yeah. So my name is Sharad. I live in San Diego, California. I am the owner and founder of ReSimply. And I also have an active house flipping business. I do a couple dozen flips a year in Northwest Indiana. I used to live in Chicago, so that's why investing in Indiana. And I own about 50 rental units, plus I have my own property management company. So that's kind of my real estate background. I started investing back in 2010. August 2010 is when I bought my first rental property.
So again, not a lot going on. You're very kind of not very busy, it sounds like, with all the things that you've got going on, multiple flips a year and own management company and all that fun stuff. I'm always kind of curious about kind of the origin, the start of real estate, because unless you grew up in that being kind of part of your upbringing, real estate typically isn't thought of as an investment opportunity other than buying your own single family primary residence, right? And so how did you kind of start in your real estate journey? Like what were you doing previously to 2010 when you got started?
Yeah, so before 2010, I was an accountant. I was working for one of the largest accounting firms. I was a CPA. So for me, real estate kind of started, I wanted to have freedom of time and money. So I wanted to just look into things that I could do when I wanted to do. I did not start out with real estate. I wanted to be a full-time poker player. Mm-hmm. One time I wanted to be a day trader and just did nothing work for me. I don't have the patience or I don't have the nerves to deal with either one of those. Then I've always been into being an accounting background. I've always been into personal finance. So I used to read a lot of blogs about personal finance. And one blog I was reading the comment section. Someone had mentioned about a book called Flip. And then I went to Amazon. You know how Amazon have related books? One of the related books was Millionaire Real Estate Investor. And I'm like, wow, this is great. I want to be a millionaire. Real estate doesn't sound bad. And I did a little bit of research, and majority of the people in US who become millionaires become through real estate. So that's kind of what led me down the path of real estate. So at that point, I started doing a lot of online research. I was very active on online forums, Bigger Pockets. I would go to a lot of local RIA meetings, network with as many investors as I could, and then started looking at properties, started making offers on properties. That's kind of how I got started.
Interesting. I feel like there's always kind of a light bulb moment when you get started in real estate. Mine was reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That was kind of like the aha. It sounds like your kind of start was in this kind of millionaire real estate investor book. Did you start your first deal? Was it a flip or how did that first one kind of go?
Yeah, my goal was very clear from day one. I wanted to have freedom of time and money. House flipping and wholesaling sounded like a lot of work. So I started out buying rental properties. I mean, you have to keep in mind, I started my investing journey back in 2010. Totally different market. You could virtually practically buy anything from MLS. There was like tons and tons of properties. The first property I bought, it was listed on MLS for $65,000, I believe, 60 to 65. My thought process was, hey, let's just make an offer at a price that makes sense for me. The worst that's going to happen is they're going to say no. So I made an offer of $20,000. I think we accepted for $22,000 to $25,000, I believe. I was all in for $35,000 for this two-unit property. And I was going to get about $1,200 to $1,300 a month in rent for two units combined. And I'm like, just being an accountant, looking at numbers, I'm like, this just doesn't make sense. It just, the numbers are so ridiculous. It was like too good to be true, right? Then I bought another property a month later in September 2010. I think it was listed for 55. I paid 44. It was in pretty good condition. So I think I was all in for about 50 with some repairs. One unit was already rented out for about $600. Tenant is still with me to this day. So that tenant alone has paid for the entire property and more. So once I rented out all three units, I think I was getting about $1,700, $1,800 a month in rent. And then I sat down with my wife and I said, look, and we were both pretty conservative with our finances. She's also an accountant, much better accountant than I am. So we talked about it. We were always living in lower of the two incomes. And I told my wife, I said, look, this is an incredible opportunity. I think I'm going to leave my job and just try this full time. The worst that's going to happen is I'm being absolutely an idiot. I have no idea what I'm doing. And we lose all the savings we have over the next couple of years. That's the worst case. And then I can go back. We're still pretty young. I can go back and then just get an accounting job again. However, the chance of that happening is pretty low, but that's the absolute worst. On the best case, if the numbers work out how I am looking at them, and if everything works out how I'm hoping and planning it would, the upside is infinite.
Yeah.
So that's how I made my decision. I'm like, it was a no-brainer back then.
Yeah, I mean, we were coming out of the 08, 09 financial crisis, right? And obviously, there was a lot of good deals on the market because people were running away from real estate, having kind of caused a lot of the turmoil. So a lot of people talk about it's hard to time the market, right? And you kind of hit it right in the perfect spot where you could get a lot of good, inexpensive deals that made a lot of sense. And it also helps, I benefit from this as well, it also helps having a supportive spouse kind of to allow you to kind of chase some of your dreams, right? To kind of build a better future. So that's awesome. So we're kind of jumping back in. I want to kind of shift away from kind of some of the early days of kind of jumping into real estate. Sounds like you started out with like duplexes or small multi-units. Is that right?
Two to four units.
Start with single. Okay. That's kind of how I started. We started with a duplex because I was nervous about going single family with just one tenant, one unit. If it's vacant, you're paying the whole rent, right? Or the whole mortgage. So was that kind of your thought process about
Exactly. Exactly the same thought process.
Yeah. And two units seems more attainable than 100, at least when you're getting started out. So I want to kind of shift into a little bit of kind of what you've been up to the last handful of years. But before we do that, I want to take a quick sponsor break. So we will be right back.
Whether you're trying to hire a full-time employee or a contractor to fill a gap, Hire Tomorrow can help. Hire Tomorrow is a boutique recruitment firm that has successfully filled sales and marketing, human resources, and technology positions with companies ranging from startups to Fortune 500. If you're struggling to find the right talent, check out HireTomorrow.com or reach out to recruiting@HireTomorrow.com to see how they can help.
We are back on the Work Hard, Invest Harder podcast. We've got Sharad Mehta on the pod. And so we started talking about kind of your initial jumping into real estate, starting with a few 2 to 4 unit properties. And you were doing this in Indiana, I think you said, is that right?
Yeah, still doing it in Northwest Indiana. So practically right outside of Chicago. I was living in downtown Chicago. So it's like 30, 45 minutes outside of downtown Chicago.
Got it. So I want to kind of, I guess, catch me up to maybe last couple of years. Did you ever get bigger, or it sounds like you started a flipping business? So how did you kind of transition away from quitting your W-2? First of all, how hard was that to actually go in and say, I'm leaving?
It wasn't very hard. I think looking at the numbers, I felt pretty confident what I was doing was the right thing to do. And for me, the thought process was, if I don't do this, if I don't jump into this, I'm going to have a regret for the rest of my life. But if I do this, it doesn't work out, I'm okay with that regret.
Yeah.
But if I don't do it, I don't think I'll be able to live with that regret. That was my thought process. And again, I was giving myself a couple of years just to see how it would go. By no means when I left my job, I had replaced the income that I was making. But I figured I'll give myself a couple of years. If I'm on the right path and it looks promising, then I'll continue. Otherwise, I'll go back and find another job. But things kind of worked out.
Yeah. And how did you and your wife kind of set yourselves up for taking that leap, right? Because sometimes people feel like, oh, I can't chase a passion or a dream or something because they don't have like what I call a good financial foundation. You've got your savings, your kind of oh crap fund. You maybe have some other investments and things like that. Did you shift your lifestyle at all to kind of position yourself to be prepared for going from having a dual income to having one income plus some rental income?
Yeah, so luckily we didn't have to change our lifestyle. Both my wife and I were living on lower of the two income. So when I left my job, it didn't affect our lifestyle. Both of us had just started working full time. So we didn't have this huge savings account, but we had enough money saved up to buy like a couple of properties. But the thought process was, I'm going to try it for a couple of years again. We don't have any fancy lifestyle. We were living back then, we were living in a one-bedroom condo, so we could easily afford. Went in with a thought process of, okay, what's the worst-case scenario if this thing doesn't work out? I didn't want to be unfair to my wife, and I wanted to chase my passion, and it affected her lifestyle.
Right.
Not that she would not have been okay with it. She would have totally supported it, but that's something I wanted to be fair, that I wasn't making her go through something that wasn't right for her.
Got it. And at what point did you kind of shift away from just buying kind of one unit, or I guess one property, two properties, and then jumping into flipping? Because obviously that's a much more active opportunity than kind of just buying some rental properties.
Yeah. So around 2012, late 11, early 12, I got connected with a company in Australia. It was a marketing company, and their clients were buying a lot of properties in US just because the Australian dollar was very strong against the US dollar. So they were looking to leverage that. And it just like, you know, how I was looking at these things, they were looking at exactly the same way. Plus they had another factor of Australian dollar being so strong.
Yeah.
And they figured the market value would go up and the Australian dollar, I mean, the US dollar would gain against the Australian dollar. So they would just do really well. So I connected with them. So I started kind of wholesaling properties to them, not necessarily wholesaling, but just kind of helping them buy properties. And then started making money from that. So all the money that I was making from that, I started putting into more rental properties for myself. And 2014, I got connected with a local lender, and they were looking to sell off about 25 to 30 properties. I don't remember exactly how many, but the deal was I had to buy the entire package or I didn't get anything. So I said, all right, I'll take all of them. I'll figure out kind of how to buy these. So two of the properties that we were going to buy as a package would not have made sense as a rental property. They were a little bit high priced properties, but they made sense as flipping. So that's kind of how I got into flipping. I didn't have any intention. It just seemed like a lot of work. So that's kind of how I got into flipping. So I started with that. We made good money on both the properties. I'm like, oh, you know, we should do more of this. And then around that time, also the market started changing. It became a little bit more competitive. And then we were able to make more money flipping houses. And also another factor that played for me is being really into personal finance. I'm a huge believer, at least back in the day, with Dave Ramsey's philosophy. Mm. If you cannot pay cash for something, that you can't really afford it. So my thought process was, all right, I'm going to buy these properties, pay them off. So of the 50 units that I own, 95% of them are paid for free and clear.
Wow.
So I don't own any debt on them. That was my thought process. From day one, I wanted to be very conservative. Again, I think the whole real estate bubble had a big influence on my thought process. I didn't want to be another number where over leveraged on my property. So I think just all those factors played into it.
Yeah.
And then flipping for me was means to an end. I wanted to flip houses, so I had cash to put into rental properties.
Got it. And so are you still kind of flipping now? It sounds like you're doing a handful a year or maybe a month that you said, I think earlier.
Yeah. So I'm doing about a couple of dozen properties, flipping a couple of dozen properties a year now. So like 2 to 3 a month. We focus on quality over quantities. So on average, we'd make about 40, 50,000 per flip. Some we're selling to other investors as a turnkey property. Some we're selling to retail, a typical flip that you see on HGTV. So I do that I'm not super involved in that business, but I have a team, my project manager, my acquisition lead manager, they kind of manage most of the business day to day.
And these are all in Northwest Indiana?
No, actually, nobody is in Northwest Indiana. My project manager, she lives an hour north of where I live. So she's also managing everything virtually. Okay. She goes out there once every 4 to 6 months to meet with the contractors. And my lead manager right now is based in Canada.
Got it. But all the flips that you're doing, houses are physically in Northwest Indiana.
Correct. Got the flips that I'm doing, they're all in Northwest Indiana.
And what about that market for you is attractive to continue to flip in that area?
I'm familiar with that market. If I did not start a software company, I would probably expand into other markets. But just doing a couple of dozen flips a year keeps me and my team pretty busy. It's good revenue. And then I also have a property management company. I own a bunch of rental properties. So it just made sense to continue investing in that market. And it's a very landlord-friendly market compared to Chicago. So that's another factor. It just made sense. You know, I'm very familiar with the market. If I get an address, we already know kind of how much we can sell the property for. So there's not a lot of thought process that goes into it.
Yeah, it's just a matter of finding enough deals to do, right?
Exactly.
It's less about kind of analyzing. It's more like, yep, let's move. And all that. And is your property management company solely focused on managing properties that you own, or do you also do some third-party management?
We do third-party, but pretty much only for owners that we have sold our properties to.
Okay.
We don't market our property management company. We don't look for new clients, but this would be if I sell a turnkey property to another investor, then we would keep the management in-house.
Got it. And how many properties are you managing now, kind of overall?
About 200.
Okay. Right. Got it. Interesting. So let's kind of transition into your software company. And I guess, when did you start it? What is it? And how does it all work?
Yeah. So I was living in downtown Chicago until August 2015. And then August 2015, my wife and I, we moved to the San Diego area where we live now. And I started looking at my business and I realized that I have a very inefficient business that I'm running. There's a lot of redundancy. Then I started looking at a software that I would need in my business so that everybody could be in one platform. And now that I'm not living in the area, a couple of things were important. One, everyone on my team needed to be on one software. Mm-hmm. Second, that we needed to be able to make decisions based on KPIs. So I didn't really find anything that would be a good fit. So I hired a couple of developers in 2017 and just had them started working on it for me. I just started creating something for me and it just kind of grew from what it is now. It's an all-in-one software for real estate investors. It's primarily geared towards people that are doing some sort of direct-to-seller marketing, people that are buying properties directly from sellers. We do have a lot of investors that buy properties from MLS, but they're doing it at a scale, like 2 to 3 properties. But a newbie investor that's looking to get started and doing direct-to-seller marketing, it would be a great fit for them. And then we have some investors that are doing like 30, 40 wholesale deals a month that are using our platform. So it's basically an all-in-one software for real estate investors.
I guess so. This is more for getting access to smaller properties, single family, 2 to 4 units, and going directly to sellers. Like maybe walk me through if I wanted to jump in the platform, like what does it help me do, I guess?
Yeah, so it helps you manage your business. I would say one common thread across majority, if not all of our users, customers that are using BeSimply is that they're doing some sort of direct-to-seller marketing. Not all of them are buying 1 to 4 units. We have some investors that are buying large multifamily, some investors that are doing mobile home parks, but they're doing direct-to-seller marketing. If you're buying a property here and there from MLS, it would not be a right fit for you. But if you're doing direct-to-seller marketing where like you want to do direct mail, you want to do cold calling, where you're trying to buy properties directly from the sellers of the properties, owners of the property, not going through an agent, that's what it's ideally fit for.
And so, okay, that's interesting. So when we got started, after we bought that duplex, we were listening to Bigger Pockets and all that fun stuff. And so every guest on the Bigger Pockets podcast was an expert or very successful in some type of facet of real estate. And so my wife and I kind of started chasing the shiny object. And so we did start sending direct mail. We were writing handwritten letters to people. We bought a list because we were going after mobile home parks and all that stuff and small multis. So this platform effectively eliminates the effort for an investor to get access to people, or how do
not necessarily to get access. Yes, there's some parts of the software that you can use to get access to list of motivated sellers. But it would help you, let's say, if you have a list of owners, if you want to send direct mail to them, you could do that from the platform. If you want to call them, text them, like back in the day, what would happen is investor will get a Google voice number and use that to call and text.
Yep.
There's no need for that. You can just do all of that within Recently. You can get your own business website within Recently. You just have to have your URL. We provide the website. You can cold call from within the system. It's a complete phone system. It's essentially a business management system. So what you mentioned is exactly what you will be able to do within Recently. So you have a list and then you can manage everything within Recently. We have some investors that also manage their small rental property portfolio within Recently. Again, it's not built for that, but people use it, but it's ideally built for people that are doing some sort of direct to seller marketing.
Got it. So you bring the list and then the platform kind of makes everything else a lot simpler than having a direct mail, a caller, and all that other fun stuff.
Exactly. So once you have your list, we'll take care of everything else after that.
Interesting. And so how many users do you guys have? Like how big is the platform at the moment?
We have about 1,300 companies using Recently.
Very cool. I guess if somebody wants to kind of learn more about it, like how do they get access? Like what's the style?
Yeah, so they could just go to resimply.com, resimply.com. We offer a 14-day free trial so they could check it out. If they have any questions, we have live chat, email, text, Zoom call. They can also jump on and do a demo call just to see if it's a right fit for them.
Got it. How are you splitting your time now that you've got a flipping business, you've got a software business, you've got a property management company and all that? How do you kind of manage your lifestyle and time?
Yeah. So on my house flipping business and my property management business, I'd say I spend no more than an hour a week. If I'm spending more than an hour a week in that business, there's something wrong going on. Majority of my time is spent on Recently. We're also launching a new product for agents submitted Recently. It's a new product, so that takes up my time. So I would say between Recently and the new product that we're launching in a couple of months here.
Got it. So you kind of effectively left your corporate job to chase your real estate dreams, and eventually you kind of started your own software company, and now you're kind of built a job and a business and all that stuff in that. And that's kind of your passion and your focus now, it sounds like.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I've built a job. I mean, this is what I absolutely love doing. It doesn't feel like work. This is what I love doing. We have about 40, 50 employees. So I'm going out to Philippines, India, and Bangladesh to meet with my team next month. I mean, our India team I've met, but the team in Philippines and Bangladesh I've not met. It's exciting, you know, the growth that we have and just being able to add value to other real estate investing companies. I think that's the most exciting thing that we have going on.
Got it. And have you gotten into any kind of like larger multifamily like syndications, whether it's passive investing or active investing? Because it seems like it's been mostly flipping in some of these kind of smaller rental properties.
Yeah, I'm starting to look into that now, not actively, but passively, maybe investing, you know, as part of a syndication deal with people that I know and trust is kind of what I'm starting to look at.
Yeah. And I guess we're recording this in kind of mid-January 2024. And I'm assuming that the kind of flipping and maybe not the flipping actually, but maybe the flipping, but the flipping and the small multi kind of investing area got hit by the rise in interest rates and all that fun stuff. What did you see? Because I've been mainly focused on multifamily syndications and everything. What have you seen over the last kind of 2-3 years in that kind of flipping and small kind of rental property space?
I think definitely it's affected the business in the sense where the volume of deals that we're doing has gone down, but the profit margin per deal has gone up. So I've talked to other investors that feel the same way. It's become harder. Interest rate is one thing. There's some other regulation changes going on within the texting industry that's kind of impacted also. So it's become a little bit harder to find deals. But once you find a deal, your average profit per deal has gone up. So that's what we're focused on is not necessarily quantity of deals that we're doing, but the quality of deals that we're doing. So our goal is to do a couple of dozen deals this year, an average $40,000 to $50,000 profit per deal.
Interesting. And so when your kind of investors are going into these deals, I guess, are they buying most of them with cash or are they doing some type of financing, seller financing? Like, I'm just kind of curious kind of the structure
that they're looking at. Majority of them would be using some sort of loan, like private money loan or hard money loan on these. But we have a decent number of investors that are doing creative stuff like owner financing, sub two, and those sort of things.
Yeah.
But majority of them, I would say, it's using private money and hard money loans.
Got it. Interesting. What is your kind of outlook, I guess, for 24, 25? It sounds like you're still in acquisition mode and not much has changed. It's just more of, to your point, quality over quantity at this moment.
Yeah, correct. I don't know which direction interest rate is going to go. Honestly, I'm not very smart with anticipating that. The only thing we control is buying these properties at a time when we're buying them for the numbers to make sense. If something happens where the interest rate goes up or down, that's totally out of our control. Yeah, so our goal definitely this year is buy good quality properties that we feel confident about over quantity. Our goal is not to do like hundreds of deals per year, but our goal is to do a couple of dozen deals, 30, maybe 40 deals per year, but not at the expense of losing quality.
Yeah, you don't want to start to lower your profit margin because then you've got to do more to get the same amount of money. So, and you mentioned kind of the having outsourced teams in the Philippines and other spaces. How have you leveraged kind of outsourced or offshore talent to help you in any of your endeavors? Because I actually have a VA in the Philippines and he's been amazing to help on this podcast and some other things. So I'm just kind of curious how you utilize them.
Yeah, I think the important thing for us has been to find the right people for the right job that we need. That's been the most important thing. And if they're okay working the hours that we have, then it's not been a challenge. I think for us, the important thing has been just finding the people with the right work ethics, the skill that we need for any position that can be taught easily, right? If I have someone that's absolutely rock star, super great work ethic, hardworking, willing to learn anything, and if I'm looking to hire someone for, let's say, a customer service role, any administrative role or acquisition manager role, I can always have them go take some training to learn the skills that they need. But if I have someone that has all the skills in the world, but just not an honest person, there's no training that I can send that person to. Hey, can you go take this training? So for us, the focus has been on finding the right people and then making sure that we get them the right training and right skill set. So the expectation is not for them to come in and start performing from day one. If they can do that, great. If not, then we're okay waiting a month or two for them to get the training to the point where they feel comfortable.
Got it. And so it sounds like your focus from your kind of day-to-day operations is continuing to build Resimply. You're adding a new product. What will that product do for the agents?
Same thing. CRM, all-in-one software for real estate agents.
Got it.
Just kind of what we built for investors will do same thing for the agents.
Very cool. So I want to kind of move into kind of the final kind of three pack of questions that I ask every guest. So first question here is, what is one piece of advice that got you started or helped you along your real estate journey?
For me, it was about taking action, not sitting on the sideline. I heard from a lot of people that don't get into analysis paralysis, just take action. So that's kind of what I did. For me, it was about feeling comfortable with the numbers and then making offers after that. If someone said no, that's okay. The only thing I can do is just control the offer, how many offers I'm making.
Makes sense. Second question here. What is your favorite real estate or business book that you're into right now?
My favorite real estate book would be, I mean, I would say Millionaire Real Estate Investor is kind of what that got me started on this journey. Business book would be the business/personal development book, One Thing, The One Thing by Gary Keller.
Yep.
That's been a really good book for me.
Yep. No, I like The One Thing. I definitely subscribe by aligning yourself to your North Star and making sure that's your focus. I like that a lot. Last question here. If you hit your financial freedom number, meaning you could live an amazing life just off the passive income from your investments, what would you do?
What would I do? I mean, what I'm doing right now, I started the software company. Spend time with family. I like to take a couple of vacations a year. I also love playing pickleball. So I make sure I get at least 4 days of pickleball a week.
Well, I'll have to pick your brain about that because I got a pickleball racket for Christmas. So I'm just getting into it. So maybe next time. My sister used to live in San Diego, so I don't get out there as often as I used to because she lives here in Austin now. But anyway, Sharad, man, it's been really awesome to learn about your journey and all your success in your multiple endeavors. If people want to reach out and learn more about your flipping business, your private management business, Resimply, how should they kind of, what's the best way to get you?
It's my email address, Sharad, Sharad at Resimply, Resimply.com. So Sharad at Resimply.com.
Awesome. Well, Sharad, man, it's been awesome to hear your story. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
I hope you got value out of this episode of the Work Hard, Invest Harder podcast, your one-stop shop for education on how you can continue to work hard in your career and have different options to invest even harder. If you took anything away from this episode, please like and comment. I read every comment as it helps me serve you better. Make sure to subscribe and hit the notification bell. That way, you won't miss out on more valuable content. If you're watching this video, it means that you want to grow your passive real estate portfolio. The easiest way to do that is to join our investor club by heading to greatventurecapital.com/invest. The link is in the show notes. See you on the next episode.